Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Now the lead pass for Hall. Moving in on Thompson. He scores!
Now to Ovechkin with a shot. Score! The Capitals convert during a 5-on-3. It's a one-goal game. There's Carrier with a shot. He scores!
Look at this, Sandin's stick gets stuck right there.
Oh, wow.
So now he's trying to win the battle, and there's Taylor Hall, and as he's still fishing with that stick on the left, Walker, he's had a really good couple of games here.
There's a center pass, it's buried by Adam Henry.
From behind that to Cam.
This puck gets chopped in by Adam Henry.
What a night of hockey last night. A couple of teams take 3-1 convincing leads in the second round of playoffs. Welcome to Sabres Live. I'm Marty Baron. Duffer is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. What a show we got in a few minutes here. David Leggio, the professor. We talked to him last week on last Tuesday about goaltending. Want to talk about more goaltending again with him. But also, the Rochester Americans are going to start their, it's the third round, but technically the second round. Anyway, they got Laval in a best of five. It starts tomorrow night in Rochester. Want to talk about Levi and anything AHL with him. So that's coming up here in 5 minutes. And then at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com, will join us. We will talk about Roch a little bit, you know, Tage Thompson at the World Championship. But mostly, I want to talk about that article and the pictures and everything social media related that the Sabres have posted about the 74-75 Buffalo Sabres team that went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. Great stories in there. I am telling you, if you haven't read the article yet, go and do it. Not right now. We got a show to do it, to talk about, but maybe Jordan will give us some of the best lines in there. I read it. It is fantastic. So that was that. But when it comes to last night, I know it was a beautiful day in Western New York. I am trying to finish my landscape and my yard work, and because, you know, it's prom season and my daughter's going to have some friends over, the whole thing. I didn't get inside until about 9:30 last night. And then I didn't realize, I'm like, oh, I totally missed the Carolina-Washington game. So I went and caught the end of it, which was exciting, and then caught the Edmonton-Vegas game for sure. But Carolina taking a 3-1 series lead, a big 5-2 win in Carolina. Obviously, they, you know, were able to bring it home after the first two games in Washington. Washington had the best record in the Eastern Conference, so they had home ice advantage. But what we saw to the Carolina Hurricanes, again, was a lot of shots, a lot of shot attempts. Taylor Hall got a breakaway goal. I don't know if it was a glitch in the matrix or whatnot, but Taylor Hall was at the far blue line. While the play was in his zone, he ends up with a big goal on the breakaway that gave a little bit more room to the Carolina Hurricanes and made it 3-1 after Washington had just scored to make it 2-1. Ovechkin got himself a goal on a 5-on-3 one-timer, his first goal of the series, but his fifth of the playoffs. A lot was going on in that game. I'm telling you, if you haven't watched Washington-Carolina because you're thinking, it's not as sexy as the other matchups, you're missing out. You're missing out because the Carolina Hurricanes are in my opinion right now, one of the deepest teams left in the playoffs. They play so good as a team. It doesn't matter what line is on the ice. They just keep rolling them. They play good defensively. They're physical. And obviously, Svechnikov with a seventh goal of the playoffs. I know it was an empty net, but he's been unbelievable. Aho has been great as well. So this has been fantastic. And then the dessert was the Edmonton Oilers hosting the Vegas Golden Knights in game four. That was incredible, mostly because the goalie stories in that series has been, you know, just all over the place. So we will get to that game, to that series with David Leggio here coming up in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that the Rochester Americans are starting their series with the Laval Rockets. It starts tomorrow at the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester, 7:05 puck drop, and then again on Friday for game two. Those are the two games in Rochester, because game three, four, and five will be in Laval. So if, you know, you're thinking, I want to go see the Amerks in the playoffs, and, you know, this series is going to be great, that two of the top teams in the American Hockey League are going to go head-to-head, Wednesday, Friday, that's the time to go, because after that, game three, four, five will be in Laval. So we'll have to see the Amerks back in Rochester in the next round, which would be the Eastern Conference Finals, because this is the Eastern Conference semifinal going on in Rochester. As we say that, let's bring in a Rochester Americans alumni, a former goalie that was in the Sabres organization, played in Rochester and in Portland as well, other places. And you know him as a good friend of the show, David Leggio. Ledge, let me ask you this. I know that you had some aggressive tendencies when it came to you playing in net, but did you throw the lumber around? Did you give the blocker? Did you cross check? Did you chase guys around your crease like Aiden Hill did last night? Because I feel like he was losing his mind during the game.
Well, it's great to be back. Back-to-back weeks. What an absolute – it just shows that you guys are desperate. But that's great. So I think what Aiden and I had in common is we both had Nabber to back us up, because I did have, angry tendencies at times. And I did also, fortunately, I think have pretty good relationships with my D, and I got away with a lot. I'm not as mild-mannered as you are, but that was Aiden was big mad coming into that game. And, you know, and it's funny, too, because I'm sure you guys talked about this, but once you start to get going a little bit, then it almost comes more. Guys look to poke at you more. So, but I kind of fed off that a little bit. I like to talk a little trash, and sometimes you get in a situation where if you talk that trash or, you get a little more physical, you have to back it up. So
the worst part of it, though, Ledge, was – like, I get Evander Kane rolls over him on the second Adam Henrique goal, right? Henrique gets through the legs. What a goal. McNabb pushes Kane over Aiden Hill. They go up and over. Hill chases Kane. Like, he's angry. He was going after Hyman earlier in the period. He went after McDavid. But then Evander Kane comes in on a 2-on-1 and just slips at 5-0 on a simple shot. That's the worst. If you're gonna be big men on campus and want to rough everybody up, you can't give up a goal to the guy you chase like Aiden Hill gave up to Evander Kane on that one.
No, the Kane one, I think he obviously was pushed in, but I can understand if you're down and you're not looking at the guy. I will also say this: I'm sure that people would probably be a little more concerned about Aiden Hill coming at them than Dave Leggio. That's a little bit of a size gap there. So. Yeah, that's the thing. You open yourself up to it. I don't know. I didn't really notice anything in the games prior that maybe kind of got him on edge. But there's a lot of stress in the position. There's a lot of pressure. So sometimes, you have something like that. And I remember Paul Byron, a little, smaller guy, played with in Portland. And, it just seemed like when he got a little frustrated, we'd be driving the game. Like, I need to fight somebody. And he would just go out and fight a guy his size, and then he was fine. So maybe, that's what Hill needed to do for some reason.
I love Paulie Byron. He's great. And obviously not playing retired now. He had some injuries late, but one of those players that I think everybody loved playing with him, smaller guy, but went to work. Now there's guys that you know are going to get in your face. Like Zach Hyman got in Aiden Hill's face a couple of times yesterday. For me, it was Matt Cook, early from Rochester, Syracuse, and then Vancouver and Pittsburgh and wherever he was. I knew Matt Cook. I knew Jason Spezza. I knew, like, there was some guys that they weren't known for being, like, the you know, always in your face. But for me, it made a difference. And when I saw Zach Hyman a couple of bumps on Aiden Hill yesterday, I thought he knows exactly what he's doing. Some guys are super. Did you have one guy that you played against that you're like, I know every time I'm playing against this guy, I'm going to get angry at some point?
Yeah. And I will say this, you know, Hill, he did, you know, get a little angry, but he did draw a penalty. I think he did. They probably have been doing something. He did stick his leg out on the end crook. And that kind of led me to think of a guy named Bobby Farnham. Was one of the guys I can think of. He was a Brown guy. You know, super.
So that was your time at Clarkson there? You guys, Clarkson and Brown?
I don't recall so much at Clarkson, but then he was playing for Wilkes, and I think he's an agent. But he, you know, he just would run around, and he wasn't even like a great fighter maybe, but he would do all those little things. He would skate through the crease on PK, and, you know, kind of the same thing. I probably drew a couple penalties because I would just flatten out a little bit and you know, just take the trip, you know, put the hands up. But that's a name, you know. We had a big rivalry when I was playing in Rochester with Toronto, and I think, you know, Zygmunis and Kadri were a couple guys that we would chirp each other. And unfortunately, we didn't win a lot of times against Toronto. So that kind of bit me a little bit. But yeah, you know, I don't know if I think my personality didn't really get in my head in a bad way, but you certainly know it's there, and you certainly feel even worse when those are the guys that get a goal on you.
You're a calm and composed guy, David. So David Leggio, by the way, for those who don't recognize the voice, former Amherst, you were Bridgeport, Portland, Rochester Americans. Anything Hershey. Else in the AHL? Hershey, that's right, Hershey. And then you went over and played Red Bull in Germany, and that was awesome. So, yes, David Leggio joining us, talking goalie. You didn't seem like a guy that got carried away, and maybe because I know you on the golf course, you always kind of chill, right? You're like, okay, that was a good hole. No worries. Tap in for eagle. No worries. Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. There's never a big celebration. Did you, though, after a big game, feel like, yes? Like, did you, under the calm, composed outside, did you have the yes? Like, Stuart Skinner last night, his second start now in this series. He lost his first two against LA, comes back in game three, loses late in the game, 0.4 second when Riley Smith puts it on net, goes off Draisaitl and in. And then he turns around and puts a shutout, 3-0 win last night. Like he didn't seem like it so much, but even his comments after the game, Stuart Skinner, no, you know, it's all about the team. But you have to feel so good inside when that happens. And I never let it out. Like, I never let anybody see if I was pumped. Like, okay, big win, let's get on to tomorrow. But inside, it felt great. Were you the same way, or did you show it off a little bit?
Yeah, I think playoffs, I think, is a little different. Marty, I'm sure you agree. It's like you win game one or you lose game one. It's maybe not the same. It's not like an open and closed book, you know, like it is regular season. Game 50, if you win or you lose, it's done. Move on. It's kind of like a continuation. You know, it's a four game, or, you know, maybe it's a three wins you got to get, four wins to get. So, but no, I think, I mean, in general, yeah, I would take that high. I mean, try to move on from it. Chop wood, carry water is the common phrase. Like, whatever happens, you just move on and stick with your process. But I think that I was probably on the win side, pumped up, playoff, sure. Like, you get jacked up. Like, you got to enjoy that with your teammates. I mean, I miss those emotions so much. Yeah. I don't know if there's much in my life that gets me to that level. You know, again, maybe you agree with that. But
Leo starts playing a little older, and then Leo's going to get a little older. You'll get fired up like that. Like, yes, my kid, it's my kid out there.
Yeah. Well, he did. He scored on Mother's Day, and he went to
I saw that. What about, by the way, go follow Ledge on Instagram, that video of Leo scoring on Mother's Day and giving the heart to the moms on the, you know, in the stands. That was fantastic. Yeah. What a kid. What a kid charmer. To do that.
I know. I mean, I don't know if I mean, as a goalie, I didn't get a chance to do that for mom. And we didn't play spring hockey back in the day. We put our bag away and we opened it up in August. But, you know, hats off to him. Great pass from his teammate, Lucas. And, you know, just a little tapping in front of the net. And he goes right to mom with the heart. You know, I think he got some extra dessert on Mother's Day. So he's a smart kid. But, you know, I think that the downs in the playoffs, though, you got to be careful, especially as a goalie and a leader. You don't want your teammates to think that maybe you've unraveled or you're not there. You know, and I definitely showed more emotion than a lot of goalies. I think it's just more the path I had being a smaller guy and a recruited walk-on and all that. But once I got it out, I was done. You know, if I was pissed off and I screamed or whatever, then I was done. But I don't know. I missed the ups and the downs when you look back. I mean, you miss overcoming the, oh, shit. Like, I'm so, oh, geez.
That's all right. I did that the other day. Don't worry.
Coming back again. You have a bad game one, you let in five, and you got pulled. And then, you know, the next game you come back, not to say Skinner did that. You come back and great, and you're a big part of a win. I mean, there's nothing that feels better than that. So I was really impressed with Skinner. I think sometimes you get that situation where, you know, things aren't going your way. They go with somebody else. You have some time to find your game with the goalie coach or, you know, kind of figure it out. And then he's come in. He's done a great job.
If that was the regular season, we wouldn't worry about it. Like, he plays two loses, then you run the hot guy for a little bit. Now, Calvin Pickard was 6-0, got injured, so that's why Stuart Skinner is back in. But if it was game 27 of the regular season, we wouldn't worry about it. We'd just say he needs a reset. It's the playoffs, so we worry about it a little bit more. He was great yesterday. The Oilers now are up 3-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights in the series. Carolina is also up 3-1 to the Washington Capitals. Logan Thompson had just an average night yesterday. Look, he's been really good, but he is that type of goaltender that plays a little bit more on the emotional edge, very fired up, right? Very active, and I think that caught up to him a little bit. And we talk about great goalie performance before. Last little bit here before we move on to Rochester and Levi and the playoffs there is Joseph Woll. And Joe Woll has had to come in now in this round because Anthony Stolarz is apparently start to skate again. But we discussed about him last week with you, the concussion issues. Yeah. And Joel plays a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Game four in Florida. It was a 1-0 game all day. He was great, but they still lose 2-0. What was your approach to losing a game like this when you know you played out of your mind, but you didn't get any help? Like, I felt more confident. I felt like, you know what? My team's not going to play that bad again. I'm going to play the same way. We're going to win the next one. But sometimes you can feel a bit differently. Like, what did you think of Joe Woll? And how would you feel if you had been in the net playing that 2-0 loss, but knowing you played out of your mind?
Yeah, you don't want to lose. I mean, obviously, it's frustrating to have a good personal performance, but at times it's going to go the other way too, or maybe you didn't have a great game and your team picked you up. I mean, I think for him and where he's at in his career, if he's still on the younger side, I know this is, he got some playoff time last year too, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's definitely,
he's had playoff time the last 2 years. He's had to come in games the last 2 years.
I think, you know, obviously you lose, but if, it's, you know, simple. If you had a great game, you feel better about the loss, but you're not happy about it. But I think it's the team in general probably feels really confident with him in that right now. And for him, you know,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
For me personally, in that situation, it's like, okay, they got us this time. They definitely, you know, they got outplayed. They didn't have as many shots as Florida, but they had their looks. and Bob made some great saves. So I think if you're Joseph, you say, okay, like I'm going to do the same thing next game. And, you know, I'm sure that with the firepower Toronto has, that they'll be able to get something going. That's what I would be thinking. But
but if they're playing against Vezina Bob, it may get a little touchy, right? Vezina Bob is different than average Bob.
When Bob, I mean, he gets on a run, and boy, does he look locked in right now. I mean, it's just when you look at certain goalies, you just feel like they're not going to get scored. And that's how I look at him. And like, if it's a shock, if someone beats him, and if someone beats him on a clear shot, I just don't see it happening right now. That could change quick, but you know, it's going to be an interesting. We're in game five now, right? So we're going back.
Yeah, the best out of three with Toronto's got the home ice advantage. So yeah, it's going to be.
I'm looking for, you know, I think we thought it would be a great goaltending matchup with Stolarz playing against his old team. He's taken off. He's kind of been building over the years. And, you know, quickly Joseph Walls put himself into that equation where, like, it's a great, you know, forwards, D, goalies. It's just a great series to watch. I mean, that's got to be near the top of the list.
It is near the top of the list. The only thing I don't like with goalie Bob, I hate his equipment. David, you know, all I am a stickler with color schemes and how it looks. I know he's got the old-fashioned Trues by Lefebvre that have the old graphics on them, but I hate that the pads are white and dark blue and the gloves are red. Like, it just doesn't match. I hate the look of his equipment.
It's dusty. I'm going to be honest with Bob. And I actually copied one of his setups. You know, for us goalie nerds out there, we call them setups. Yeah. I did copy Bob. I didn't even do it consciously. My subconscious took over. I designed it. One of my buddies said, that's Bob's pads. And I said, well, we're going to go with it. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the big block blue for some reason appeals to him, but I wish you would tweak it. Maybe we'll tweak it.
It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like the old blockade, the old CCM blockade when I played with them. Like, the graphics look very similar to that. It's awful. Makes me have nightmares. So that's that. Hey, while we're talking about goalie equipment, let's switch over to Devon Levi and the Rochester Americans. Devon's had the brown gear all season long, and I've not been a big fan of the brown-looking old-fashioned gear. I don't think that it looks authentic when goalies do it. I did it one time for the Winter Classic. It was fine, whatever. But Devon's gear has looked really good. Maybe it's the different color or the materials, but he has looked good with that brown equipment. What have you made out of him sticking with it all season?
I'm surprised. I thought when he got it, I mean, just from an outsider's perspective, it was just like a short-term thing, but it actually does. I agree with you. It does look good on him. I'm wondering too, because the Amerks still have a little bit more of like an old school style jersey, you know, just your traditional stripes. I love Rochester's jerseys. But it actually fits really well. And it's very rare that I felt that way about that gear. But good for him. Go with it. Why not? I know everyone's all about the white and the visual stuff. I wore yellow pads for a time in Clarkson. You know, I think it was fine. I mean, it's all like, sometimes the darker pads look small on bigger guys, but I think for, you know, us mere mortals like me and Levi, the brown looks big. It looks big. It looks like it takes up a lot of net. So it's working for him. He's got two shutouts in three games. That's not bad. Playoffs.
Well, he's going on one of the longest shutout streak in the history of the game, because the last time he gave up a goal was on April the 25th. We are March the 13th, May the 13th today. So it's been over 2 weeks, right? But he's only played the two games. What do you make out of that break? Like, they haven't played a game since beating Syracuse in game three on May the 1st. So it will be basically 13 days in between games, 14 days to play tomorrow. What do you make of the break for a goaltender like Levi? And is this good to be able to reset your game?
I think he'll be fine. I think it just kind of stinks experience wise. What I love and miss about the playoffs is like, it occupies your brain. You're obsessed with it. It's the only thing you think about is hockey and winning and your teammates. And, you know, I just think it stinks that it's been so prolonged. You know, it's like March Madness, you know, for fans, and you just can't wait till Thursday the next week, but instead it's 3 weeks later, you know, I don't know. I mean, it kind of stinks, but it is what it is. I'm sure he's taking time to work in his game and get rest and, you know, clean up anything that he wasn't, you know, happy with. And, you know, they have Seamus Kotick there as well to help him out. So I'm sure he'll be ready to go as well as the rest of the team. But I'm, you know, I think that big of a break, it probably will be a little bit of a feeling out process in game one. But once you get through that game one, you know, I think you're back in the swing.
So, I mean, Caden Primo was the goalie for Laval most of the season after being sent back down from the Montreal Canadiens right before Christmas. But in the playoffs, it's been Jacob Fowler. Like, we're getting a great look. We talked about Joe Woll, who's going to be the, you know, probably the guy for the many years in Toronto. We're talking about Devin Levi. He's hoping to be the guy in Buffalo for many years. And Jacob Fowler, after finishing his collegiate career, now playing with the Laval Rockets in the AHL, he's 3-0 in the playoffs. Did you like playing against up-and-comers on the other side, saying, I'm going to seize myself up with this guy? I know goalies don't play directly against one another, but I liked it. Like, I remember playing against Patrick Waugh or Marty Brodeur or Andy Belfour, and when I first came up, and I was like, I just want to beat. I want to show them that I'm better than maybe they think. Do you think that plays into Levi saying Fowler is the new up-and-coming guy and he wants to make sure he lets him know?
I'm not sure if you do that way, but why not? I mean, I think that's the measuring stick you're putting on. It's funny, too, because I had an insider tell me who was starting for Laval first game. I forgot. I'll have to get back to you on that. I had to tell you. I forgot who it was. So it's one of the two, I promise.
It's one of Caden Primo or Jacob Fowler. Thanks for being the insider on the show today.
That's right. So I would say yes.
You know what? I'll say this, David. Sometimes Dreger, as the insider, will give us the both sides of the fence too. So that works. That's part of the insider job. Wow.
This is just straight CT ESPN, me forgetting. But so to go back, yes, me personally, I did view things that way. I remember going back to college and go, you know, playoffs. You know, I especially for someone that was not drafted and you know, just trying to leapfrog somebody, where obviously Jacob Fowler has earned the right to be considered a high-end prospect. But, you know, I'm trying to think in the playoffs who are some of the top guys I played against. But I remember the one year when I was with Bridgeport in the division, we had Vasilevsky, Matt Murray when he was on an absolute tear. Anton Forsberg was phenomenal as well. So it was just here's the tough part about that, though. As things went on, like Hellebuck was one of my partners at the World Championships. That's when I started to realize I was kind of screwed. It might be time to go to Europe, because you see like Connor Hellebuck walking the door and he's 6'4", and he's just as fast as me and he tracks just as well as me and he's just as flexible. And I'm like, oh man, I'm running out of time here. But yeah, absolutely. I hope that he does take that as a, you know, a personal challenge to beat. I mean, even Caden Primo is another guy that, you know, is kind of on the cusp of being the number two in the NHL. And, you know, I think Levi has the capabilities to outplay him. So interesting to see how Jacob's going to be able to keep this going as a guy coming out of college. It's a big step to the AHL from college.
It's a huge step, but it's one that I believe, you know, goalies, it could come easier when you get to the AHL, just because players are better in front of you. They, you know, the game is a little bit more predictable. I feel like that's the next step, even from the AHL to the NHL. Yes, the speed is faster. Yes, the shots are better. It's more physical. But the play doesn't break down as much as at the lower level. And I think that's a big difference with that. 1 minute before we got to take a break here. You did mention Portland, Rochester, Hershey, Bridgeport. You forgot to mention the Albany River Rats and the Binghamton Senators. You did play a game for both of those organizations, according to Elite Prospect. I didn't even know that until I looked at it today. So what was that transition from Clarkson to Binghamton, where you played one game at the end of that season, and then, you know, the one game with Albany the next year?
That was interesting. I had tore my oblique around Christmas time at school. One of my best buddies was a third rounder at Ottawa and was in Binghamton. So after the season, we decided I wasn't going to pursue an ATO. And I remember, you know, after your senior year college hockey season, you have a good time for a couple weeks watching a game and seeing Brian Elliott go down with an injury, because we're watching our friend Sean. Yeah. And then someone saying, I wonder if they're going to call you. And then they did. And I walked in on Saturday night, and there were three brawls of, like, you know, the super heavies, Jablonski and Gillies and all these guys. And I'm in the jungle of Binghamton. I'm like, what did I get myself into? So basically, this practice for the week, they had got eliminated from the playoffs. And then the last game of the 3-on-3 the last week, and I went against.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hershey, and they were amazing that year. Yeah. My good buddy Keith DeCoin came in on 2-on-1 in overtime, and somebody put the water bottle about 20 rows up. Well, we got to overtime. We're down 4-2. So that was a great experience, though, to get in the locker room, see how guys operate, see the quality of shots. And then I was on a deal with Albany and Carolina the next year, and I got one game when I was playing for the Everblades, and didn't go well, letting 7 goals. Wasn't sure if I'll ever get back in the league. I honestly didn't even play that bad. I know it's hard to say that, but I'm pretty hard on myself. So, you know, went to Finland the next year and was able to get back in the league with Buffalo and Portland. So, but yeah, definitely 7 goals against in your first start is not the way you write it up.
That's okay. I gave up 4 in my first game against Pittsburgh, couple to Jager or whatnot. And, you know, we still recovered. You recovered well. That's good. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I do have a quick question. I know we got a break. Leo did ask me, did you ever play against Gretzky? I have to tell you.
I never played against Wayne. Right. Actually, I was scheduled to play against him at MSG the one season, and then Hasek returned from an injury, so I was a healthy scratch. I sat in the stands. That's the game that Dom made the flip around 2-pad stack on Manny Malhotra at MSG. That was the last game we played against Wayne. Never got to play against Wayne. Played against Mario a few times before and after his retirement when he came back. So, but never got to play against Wayne. So tell Leo, I appreciate the question. Never got to play against Wayne Gretzky. So I never got to give up a goal to Wayne Gretzky, which is awesome. Gave up plenty to a lot of other players too. So David Leggio, thank you. You're the professor. Enjoy some rising and grinding tomorrow with the goalies on the ice. I think you got a session early tomorrow morning. So I'll catch up. I'll catch up with you guys later, and I'll join the group, and we'll rise and grind together. That'll be good.
You got it. Thanks for having me. Always a good time.
Okay, that was David Leggio here on Sabres Live. We'll take a break. Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com will join us next on Sabres Live. Stick around.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.